Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
Anything happened this week?
Quiet.
Super
quiet.
So it's like everybody can't go on vacation, so they do stuff.
It's weird because in August, usually this is when we're, you know, kicking back with some betas and there's nothing really happening. Oh, everybody's away.
Love to kick back
sudden,
with a beta.
Yeah. In the cold beta in the backyard.
Yeah.
I know you like your hammock there.
Sure.
News in August.
Lots. Lots.
Where do we start?
I finally got to post my public beta. So I had a conversation with Apple at some point about the public beta, and they said, you know, it's not, you know, not yet, basically. And I was like, okay, good, because I was working on my public beta story, you know, based on the developer betas, thinking it was imminent. And that was super stressful for like a week of like, oh, it's imminent, it's imminent. And they're like, no, it's not imminent. Like, okay. It gave me another week. But I did have like a couple of weeks in there where I was sort of frantically trying to write a decent public beta story, you know, basically a Big Sur overview kind of thing kicked off with the release of the public beta. It's something I like to do. And it doesn't have, there are lots of things I just threw overboard. It's like, I'm not going to write about that now. See you in the fall. But that I finished it like more than a week ago, and it 2 weeks ago, and it's been sitting, just sitting. But I got to post that yesterday, which is great. And then also, in contrast, the iMac review embargo lifted yesterday. I had a day to write that story.
Right. Isn't that always the way?
Anyway, it's fun though, because this week I have had a lot of writing that was not that I had to hold on to that I published, because I published that Big Sur public beta story. And I also published my first 20 Max for 2020 essay, which I looked at the timestamp on it. The file was created January 4th. And that's why eagle-eyed readers may have noticed that briefly it had a line about how Apple might be building its own processors for the Mac.
Ooh.
Which I was like, oh, yep, wrote that in January. Let's change that.
Also, was it a good story about how we all love traveling everywhere and just going seeing people? And
yeah, well, what it's taught me is that I need to, even though I wrote and edited and then had somebody copy edit these stories, I need to do a detailed final pass for time. And so I have done that, because the next one's, you know, queued up and ready to go. But anyway, so yeah, launched a project, got unloaded a story that I put a lot of time into, that, like, you know, doing this site, I don't know if you feel this way, but I have this feeling sometimes of like, I worked a lot today and nobody can see anything that I'm doing. And it's like, well, Jason's just taking the day off. And I'm like, no, I'm working very hard, but you can't see what I'm working on.
I mean, that's a lot of the work that we do. I mean, I will say writing books.
Writing books is the
writing
worst,
books is
right?
Constantly that. They're like, oh, you wrote this book. I read it in a day. Mm-hmm. Where's the next one? But I just took a year away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, Jason hasn't written a full post on the site in a week. What's the deal? Is he slacking off? Is he taking a vacation? It's like, no, I am writing a lot of things that you can't see yet. It's just funny to be in that position, but that happens
furiously.
Sometimes. Yeah, it happens sometimes. So it was nice to get that out in the world and be like, yeah, here it is. Finally, get it out there.
Yeah, it is nice to check those things off the list. I definitely have a few of those things where it's like, well, I can't in good faith check this off, because even though I've done it, it's not finished.
Yeah, right.
And it's nice when then you get that, like, oh, finally, I take that thing that's been sitting on my to-do list for like a month or more and check it off, because you're like, okay, it's actually done. I've handed it off.
Yeah.
Big Sur public beta thing, the Apple strategy this year has been interesting. I'm curious as to why they've made some of the decisions they have. Obviously, the Big Sur beta, public beta, came out later than the iOS and iPadOS, which I think is fine. I mean, like, staggering that makes sense. Like, you want to make sure everything's in shape for the larger group of users who's going to use it.
Yeah,
I think
the Big Sur public beta wasn't ready yet. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
The early builds there had some serious problems.
Yeah.
Not to say that the iOS beta has been all candy and roses, because I've definitely had some issues with it, but the other one that enters there that I'm curious about is this was the year we were promised the first watchOS public beta, which has still not arrived, which I'm curious about as well. And I know a lot of people that I've talked to who using the developer betas have run into issues with that. So I suspect it's a similar situation where it's just not ready for that wider distribution yet. But I feel like they intimated it would happen in July, and it didn't. But, you know, again, this is the kind of thing I think where it's okay. It's smart even for Apple to not deliver on a time frame if it's just going to be something that they're going to take a lot of flack for because it's not ready, right? Like, there's no reason to shove out a public beta if it's not in a place where, you know, thousands of people using it are not going to get bitten by stuff that they're just going to complain about.
Yeah. Well, have at it, everyone.
Enjoy. I haven't even updated
my... Kick back with the beta.
I haven't even updated the MacBook Air, which is on the Big Sur public beta. I haven't even updated it to the latest developer release because I had to shut it down last week because I came in. I usually just leave it sleeping or just sitting open, but, like, you know, screen off. And it was so hot. The computer was so hot. I was like, you know what? I'm not using this regularly enough right now to even warrant generating this much heat. I'm just going to turn it off for now.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great. I mean, that computer is dying anyways, which is fine. I will replace it, but I, you know, feel like I could probably prolong its life a bit if I just leave it off for a while.
Betas. I have to get back. So here's where I am with the betas. On the Mac, I feel like I threw out a bunch of stuff that I need to get back to, but I'm going to put that on hold for a little bit. But, like, there's stuff that I want to grapple with when I write about the final version that I just haven't, you know, I'm going to let that sit for a little bit, but there's a lot there. Although I appreciate it's in the story, but I at least, I don't know if anybody else does, I appreciate that I figured out that what it is that Catalina is the bad cop and Pixar is the good cop. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't think there was actually a conspiracy, but it does feel like Catalina's like, oh, why are you making this so hard? And Big Sur, it's like, oh, it's fun, new stuff. It's like, well, yeah, that's because we punched you last year and got rid of all the old stuff. But now, yay, new stuff. But I'm going to put that to the side. I feel like my next angle of attack here, my next thing that I have to do is I have to decide if I'm going to really truly embrace the iPad beta. Because again, I really rely on my iPad, and I don't want to, you know, we reach the point in the summer where it's like, well, I really need to use it because I'm not putting in the time with the iPad and the iPhone betas that I should. But at the same time, it means I'm opening myself up for, I mean, it is August. I'm opening myself up for a month or two of just annoyance. Right?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. What else are you going to do? I mean, you're not going anywhere.
All right. Okay. Fair point.
Fair point. You know, I've been using the iPad beta daily, but not with any, you know... Using betas is always weird, right? Because, like, on the one hand, you want to continue using it the way that you've used your iPad to date, right? Like, that's test number one is, can I do all the stuff that I used to do and everything is smooth? And test number two is, can I do anything either that I couldn't do before or do stuff that I could do before, but do it better? Mm-hmm. And I feel like the iPad, more so than the iPhone in iOS 14, the iPad feels to me less like a major departure. Just in terms of, like, everyday usage, I don't feel like I run into a lot of places where I'm like, oh,
yeah,
this is so much better than it was before.
I'm mostly concerned because the shortcuts are better, but the shortcuts are buggy and they keep changing one to one. And I use shortcuts, right? So that's my big concern, is that I'm just going to have to spend a month or two not using my shortcuts because they don't work right. And that's frustrating.
I will say I've spent a lot more time making shortcuts in 14 beta. And it's definitely, there are some bugs. I've filed feedbacks, which is new for me. I don't usually do that much.
Congratulations.
You can blame Matthew Castanelli for that one because he gave me a hard time about, like, hey, you should probably file a feedback for that bug you found. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll do that. And I've run into problems, but most of it hasn't been for stuff that I utterly rely on. There was one issue in an earlier beta where it killed, like, a very common shortcut action that was used in a whole bunch of shortcuts, and it was like, oh no, but mm-hmm. it appears to have been fixed.
Well, that's good.
But it is definitely buggy. I agree with you. And that is the place where I agree that I have found the biggest change. And for whatever reason, I don't know, part of it, they made the app, the shortcuts app, better. It's easier to organize stuff.
Right.
You know, it's got more functions. It's got, you know, a whole bunch of improvements in it. And that makes it closer for me to something that I actually want to spend time in. But yeah, other than that, a lot of what I do is the same stuff I was doing before, and I don't notice huge differences. It's not like on the iPhone where you've got, you know, home screens you can hide and widgets right. that you can drop on the home screen and the app library and all that stuff. You know, most of that is not present on the iPad.
Yeah, I don't know. At some point, you got to do it, though, just because there's all sorts of little things in the corners. When I do use one of these, you know, you have that moment where you're like, oh, that's not right. Like, that's different. I didn't even know that thing was there. And then you get to experience it, and that experience is the thing that informs when you write about it or talk about it. I don't know. That's where I am, is I'm on the precipice of doing that, and at some point, I have to do it. And honestly, this is true of Big Sur, too. Like, at some point, I need to live with Big Sur more than I have. The problem with that is that Big Sur is going to kill all my entire, like, podcasting workflow. Dead.
Oh yeah, that's why I can't move over.
So as somebody who doesn't use a laptop so much anymore, and I'm just using an iPad and an iMac, like I have it on a laptop, but like I don't use the laptop. I use the iMac. But at some point, I feel like I have to move house and I have to live with this thing. But what that means is that every time I want to do a podcast, I have to reboot into a different partition or an external drive. Or it means and this is probably what's going to have to happen, is I'm going to set up one of my other available bootable Macs that can run pre-Catalina, like on Mojave. I could run Catalina, but Catalina is a little bit buggy too. So, but put that laptop on my desk as the podcasting computer, mm-hmm. like just to record and run the Skype and Zoom and stuff. And like, which is silly, but like, I think maybe that's what I have to do is create a safe appliance for recording podcasts and things, because for those who don't know, like Rogue Amoeba's software is what we use a lot for a lot of different purposes. I use so many different pieces of their software. They had new software this week that you wrote about. Yeah. And it's all broken in Big Sur.
It's because it all relies on their audio capture engine, which is not yet working on Big Sur.
Right.
Yeah. And that kills. I mean,
yeah,
no audio hijack is
no.
A real problem.
No, that's a non-starter. And for some of the stuff we do, like I use loopback for a lot of
sure.
stuff.
Yeah,
and I just can't. So yeah, it's that's what happens. That's the life of when you're kicking back with the beta.
Mm-hmm. Kicking back with the cold beta. It's true.
Yep. What else? What else? Anything else?
You want to talk about Microsoft? This is my favorite story of the week. It's rare, you know, every once in a while we get one of these.
There's a lot of Microsoft in the news because Microsoft
is trying to
buy TikTok.
TikTok is a whole, that's a whole different kettle of baddiness. I was thinking about them fighting with Apple over the App Store, which has really exploded in the last year or two. And you get these every once in a while, these public spats between... you know, we saw this whole thing with Hey, right? A few months ago. Months? I don't know. I said that like I know what time is.
Several days ago.
A while. This morning.
It was before WWDC. So back
it was
in,
before WWDC.
Back in
so
June.
June. Yeah.
God. Aha.
Seems like last week. And that's, you know, we talked about the fact that the guy who runs Basecamp is a, you know, he is a, what's the right word? Let's try to say something that wasn't totally impolite. But loudmouth was my best answer.
Okay.
Anyways, you know, and that's one thing. But like when you get Microsoft slugging it out with Apple, that's a different look, right? Because even though Apple may be much bigger than Microsoft now in terms of, you know, some ways, depending on how you measure it, they are on the same tier. And so having that is, you know, Apple has had very public fights with Amazon, for example, at some points. And I'm interested in this fight because I feel like I've got skin in the game with this one in part. I mean, I have an Xbox and I have a ton of Apple devices. And I was in the beta for the xCloud streaming stuff on iOS. And I was puzzled. I used it for a little while, and then I sort of was like, all right, this is pretty cool. I'll come back when they've updated it. They never updated it on the Mac. And it turned out that a big part of the problem there was that the way that Apple restricted their testing was not only by limited, you know, by test flight being fairly limited in terms of how many people could sign up, but they only allowed them to distribute it on the Mac with a single game because their argument, I think, was essentially like, you can't run multiple games on here.
And you can't run a game store inside an app.
Yeah, but it's not even a store is the thing, right? Like, it's games that you have access to. It's more like a streaming service, right? It's not like I'm going out and buying individual games to stream here. It's I am paying a subscription fee to Microsoft for access to a bunch of these game titles that they are streaming to me. So lots of issues here, right? And what Apple has chosen to focus on in their objection is essentially we need to be able to rate and chart, which I thought was a weird thing to bring up, but
yeah,
we need to be able to rate and chart all of the games individually. And I think that is the most bananas eye-rolling thing that I've ever heard. This feels to me like Apple really looking for a reason to deny Microsoft the ability to deploy this on their on Apple's platforms, because there's no real reason for that. All the games are rated by the industry standard rating board, which has been rating games for a very long time. And it's not as though they don't come with clear notifications of things like age limits and stuff like that. And it's not as though Microsoft, which is in the business of like not only selling games, but producing games and providing games, making them available. Of course, they look at all this stuff too, right? Like it's not just a Wild West situation of anybody able to put games on Microsoft's gaming service any more than anybody can put a game on Apple's game service. In fact, Apple's game service is probably a lot more open, or at least not arcade, but like, you know, deploying a game to the App Store is probably a lot easier than getting your game on a Microsoft like
sure.
Xbox platform. So all that stuff's being looked at. This is not like a security thing. It's not a content thing, because all of that stuff is being vetted. So what I'm forced to conclude is two factors. One, Apple thinks this is too big a competition to Apple Arcade, which is our gaming service that we'd like everybody to pay for separately. Or two, we're not going to get a 30% chunk of people paying Microsoft the subscription fee.
Right.
But they don't say either of those things in this one, because I think if they did, they would get in a lot of trouble. Even more so than with their whole recent fight, with subscription service costs.
What baffles me about it is, I mean, I'm not surprised that Apple did this, but I think there's a question, as you mentioned in your link post, about there are lots of other places, Kindle, Netflix, mm-hmm. Comixology, that are places where content is channeled through an app, and Apple doesn't review that content. Like, they review that your app is properly like marked right. off as displaying certain kinds of content, right? But they don't. It used to be when they did in-app purchases in Comixology, they actually were supposed to quote unquote review every comic book.
Well, there was that fight over that right. one issue of Saga like
yeah.
years ago.
Exactly. But that, you know, now the way it works is that that's just not in there. And as long as they view like the Comixology app or Netflix or whatever as having the right parental guidelines
yeah,
in it, they
exactly.
let it go. And I could even see, you know, if rating is the issue, I could even see a yeah. way to work together of saying
sure.
like, you know, this is parental controls in on your iPad are supported in the app, where games that don't match that aren't playable. And it just goes through. At the same time, part of me thinks, okay, this is kind of an end run. This is the equivalent. What if a random developer that you'd never heard of made a new gaming service for the iPad, where what they were doing is they had set up like pirated iPad games in with screen sharing, and then you buy this one app, and then it's not technically running code on your computer, on your iPad. Like, there are arguments to be made that, viewed through a different lens, this is just Microsoft bypassing Apple's entire infrastructure to sell Xbox games on Apple's platform. And I think that's true, right? It benefits Microsoft to build a business using Apple's hardware as a playback mechanism for their platform. And Apple saying, well, just follow me here for a second. I could see Apple's perspective there, which is, well, wait a second. You're pushing this. You're basically creating an empty box, an open window into a place where you collect all the money and you develop all the software. And we don't like that, because we like stuff that is executing on our device. It's the best experience and all of that. Like, I can see that argument. At the same time, though, I look at this and I say, yeah, but come on, they're not the same. And I'm skeptical of these game streaming services, but at least, like, you know, what you're really trying to do is appeal to an existing Microsoft customer.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, so much of these services require, I'm not sure 100% about the xCloud, but I think it basically still requires an Xbox, right? Like, this is a value add for people who are already playing Xbox games, not necessarily a way to just, like, pick up a whole bunch of new customers. Like, yes, they're going to derive other revenue for it, but this is not the only platform it'll work on, and it's not the only feature that goes with that. It's part of their whole, like, unlimited gaming service.
But if you're Apple, how do you codify it so that you aren't opening the door to a future where your software is irrelevant because everything is just an empty window into various other streamed gaming services?
The short answer is, I think they take the same approach that they took with the whole Amazon thing, where Amazon, you know, despite Apple's vaunted, we treat everybody the same, I think that's not true.
Yeah.
The whole thing with Amazon, that certain, like, video channel partners or whatever, shows that there are different tiers of ways that they can treat people. And I think the answer is, Microsoft is big enough that you call them up and you just work it out. And maybe you're not setting a precedent for everything that comes after it, but you're saying, like, look, if you meet all of these criteria, maybe you have additional criteria about how these titles need to be reviewed. And you know, again, it could be all stuff Microsoft's already doing, right? Like, you need to have ESRB ratings. You need to have parental controls. You need to do that, right? Like, you need to be reviewing the content of the games. And, like, Apple's certainly in a position where it could say to Microsoft, guys, we trust you. Like, we know you're a big company. We know that this is within your interest, too. I just, you know, I get the idea that Apple feels like it doesn't benefit at all from this, but the truth of the matter is that the users are the ones who lose here, right?
It makes Apple's hardware. I mean, it's the same argument before, which is that is an argument that misses the entire part, which is that a great app ecosystem makes Apple's hardware more valuable, and they cannot pretend that it doesn't. Well, except they do,
right?
But they shouldn't, because it does.
Yeah, yeah. And I think. It's just another thing that's adding to this pile of evidence that the App Store really needs some, you know, attention. It needs some investigation in terms of how this works. I'm not saying externally. I think Apple itself has to interrogate,
right?
Like,
and I'm not
what
entirely,
is our, what are we doing here?
I'm not entirely sure that this isn't going to be one of those cases where it's a knee-jerk reaction, which is basically, we don't understand this, and it's sort of outside the bounds of what we're working on. And, you know, and I think this is where Apple's responses end up being kind of, like, obstinate and arrogant and a self-own, which is, instead of saying, well, wait a second, this is a complicated situation, we're going to review it, we're going to talk to Microsoft. It's an area where our guidelines, you know, are not doing what they were intended to do. We're going to look at it. Not saying we're going to change it, but we're going to look at it. Instead, what they say is, well, actually, it says here in these rules that we made up, but now we have to enforce and have no power to change, even though we do, that you can't do this, and therefore you can't do it. And it's as simple as that. It's just, it's this arrogant and it's just, it's a ridiculous argument, right?
I don't know why they treat the App Store guidelines like they're the Ten Commandments,
right?
Bizarre,
like, they're
not handed down on high. These are things that you guys made up.
Yeah, so in this case, I think the right answer is to say, we're gonna look at this, because I do think that it's probably the case, is that Apple has been avoiding game streaming stuff and doesn't want to deal with it, or maybe they do feel threatened by it. But again, surely there's a deal to be made here, as you said, and I come back to, yeah, it needs to follow all these rules, and probably it needs to offer a sign up in the app with an in-app purchase with the money going to Apple, right? Because that's, I think that that's where Apple's going to end up landing. I mean, they're sort of already there with the Hey thing too, which is what Apple really wants is Apple is okay if your customer wants to bring the service that they paid for to an Apple device. But what Apple doesn't want, and I think that they overemphasize this, I don't think this is realistic, but they want to believe that the App Store is a driver of services, and people find apps in the App Store,
yeah,
and then they open them, and then they sign up for the service, and they want a cut of that. They want their kickback for basically being the ad mechanism, the exposure mechanism to get your service in front of people. I think that's a fantasy. And that there's nobody out there going, whoa, I need to watch a movie. What's this Netflix thing that I found in the App Store? I don't think that happens.
Right. I think that this is based on and stems from this kind of, they dug themselves into this hole. Because 12 years ago when they launched the App Store, their thought was, if we let people develop apps for the App Store, for our platform, this makes our devices more valuable. It means more people buy them and more people are attracted to them. And we make more money because we sell more phones. And circa 2015-16, when they made that services goal, they changed the way that they were thinking about this. And I think they, at that point, they, you know, had already dug themselves in the hole of, well, we allow apps on the platform that don't accrue money for us, right? Because no free app. If it's a free app with no in-app purchase or anything, you're golden, right? Like you are essentially making, you know, Apple is paying money for your bandwidth or your administration or whatever, and you are, but you're not making any money either, right? Like it's just Apple's going into the hole a little bit, essentially paying for you, but it's scale, etc. They made that deal though, knowing like, look, we're going to eat some, you know, revenue by essentially giving away apps that people have just, you know, are distributing for free, but we'll make it back on the apps that people want to pay for. And so as a result of making that deal, I think, you know, a lot of people were like, well, we can make free apps. And then, of course, you had to deal with in-app purchase and you had to deal with subscriptions and all this stuff where it's like, well, it doesn't make any money up front, but it makes money down the road. And Apple's like, oh, no, wait, hold on. That wasn't what we were intending. Uh-huh. We were intending that you sell an app and then we take part of it. Now you have subscriptions or sign up things that are outside of the store and oh, no. And I think they just felt, you know, they got a little bit obsessed with this idea of we need a cut of everything. And I understand it's your platform. You want to, you know, break even at least on it, but you also now want to profit off it a lot. And this is fundamentally going to be a conflict for you because there's going to be a lot more services like this.
Well, they need to ask themselves, are we comfortable with the idea that at least in part, our iPads are going to have this, or iPhones, are going to have this ability to essentially become a window into a console game. And I get there's the Apple Arcade argument and all that, but let's set that aside because I think that that way lies madness, because then you're really just saying,
well, that's anti-competitive.
Let's keep everything competitive off of our platform. It's like, but
yeah, that's a serious legal issue, I think, at that point.
I think so. So let's look at it just from the perspective of do we want this on our platform? Is this a thing? Now, my take on that is, yes, find a way to make it work for you.
Sure.
Like it makes, because again, I am coming from the perspective of saying making your iPads better is going to make you sell more iPads. And one way you make it better is having all these apps on it so that you're going to sell more iPads, because did you know that if you buy an iPad, you can play your Xbox games on it? Conversely, if you're an Xbox fan and you realize the iPad won't let you play games, but the Samsung tablet will,
yeah,
then you are decreasing the appeal of the iPad. So, you know, I don't know how much of this is obstinance by Apple and how much of this is just
posturing
right, to make a deal. So, but it feels to me like this is not a trend, because as you pointed out, Facebook said, oh, by the way, we also have a gaming service that is on this. Like, this is a trend. Who knows whether these services will be any good or not? There's in-home streaming versus cloud streaming. Yeah. But, like, you know, I feel like Apple should come up with a policy that allows its vendors to experiment with this stuff in a way that does things the way Apple wants as a steward of its platform, which is what I'm really saying is Apple needs to treat this like a steward of a platform and not as a company that is desperately trying to be anti-competitive in order to protect their game service. Yeah.
My favorite bit about this, I feel like this is a tweet, but it's the idea, like, last year when they're like, oh, by the way, you can now pair your PlayStation or Xbox controller and play games on your iPad.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Now you can play Xbox games. Oh, no, not those games.
Not those games.
Yeah, that feels feels weird. And it does reach into this larger point, which somebody commented. I think it was Ian Bettridge responded to one of my tweets on about, saying Apple talking about gaming is the Steve Buscemi "Hello, fellow kids" clip, essentially.
Yeah,
and it is. I mean, Apple has struggled with gaming, and like, you know, every time they're like, "No, no, we got it this time," and then it kind of falls flat. Apple Arcade has probably done better than most of those, but you know, I said this years ago and I maintain it's true. They got super lucky, like lightning struck with the popularity of games on the iPhone and iPad, and they never knew what to do about that.
They didn't make that happen. It happened.
No.
To them.
Yeah, and they're like, "Oh, we must have done something right." And it's like, "Nope,
let's take the reins of this situation now." No.
No. You left your petri dish out overnight.
Don't mess
penicillin
it up.
But like
you built an app store and you built this platform that people loved, and people developed games for it. Like, that's literally it. So the app store, full credit. And building the iPhone, full credit. But like,
they're way
a
better
game strategy,
building a platform than running a platform.
Yeah,
is what it comes down to.
So, you know, I can see Apple's hesitance here. I'm honestly skeptical enough about all of this that I feel like it's like Apple saying we don't want to put a web browser on our devices, right? Like, you just do it, right? Just let it, because the web. Oh no, now they're not going to buy apps because they're just going to use web pages. It's like, you know what? Compete with the web pages.
Wait a second. You literally tried that. You tried to tell everybody that web apps were the best way to do this.
Well, that's
just go with it.
They didn't have another way is the thing.
I know, but it's again, I think you're right about the stewardship, and I think that's what it comes down to, is at the end of the day, Apple is great at creating these kinds of technology that enable people to do all sorts of wild and amazing things on their platform. But running that platform, and I think this also dates back, we've talked a little bit in the past about the paranoia that Apple has about sort of, you know, stuff getting taken out of its control.
Yeah.
And I think this is a symptom of that, is the, oh no, but again, what if this gets more popular than our platform, you know, or like, what if this gets more popular than the other stuff we're doing, or, you know, and I think they clamp down on stuff because they're afraid that it will hurt them in the end. And I don't think this will. I do not think this is a thing that is going to ultimately put the App Store out of business, or even game sales on iOS. They're different types of things. Yeah. I don't think it looks good. I the best case scenario is this is a lot of big companies yelling at each other until they quietly work out a deal. But like, these people all know each other. So it's not like some random developer that you are like, oh, we don't know who this person is. Like, they're just some person, you know, in a house somewhere writing an app. No, it's Microsoft. You literally talk to them all the time. Just call them up. Work it out.
Yeah, so that's what I'd like. I mean, if they truly believe this is an existential threat to their platform, then, I mean, do what you have to. But I don't think they actually believe that. I don't think that argument really holds water. So I think you just let it go. Come up with rules. And it goes back to my approach, mentioning their approach earlier. What it really feels like is they are attacking a thing they don't understand until using their kind of petty officiousness of the rules that they created to say, well, look, you just have to follow our rules. And this seems like exactly the sort of thing where a high level executive looks at it and they have a conversation about it and they're like, all right, what are the rules here? And I haven't heard anyone say, well, we tried to work with Microsoft and they wouldn't follow our rules. They said, well, you know, our rules are this, and Microsoft didn't follow them. That's not the same thing. So my gut feeling is what will happen here is they will finally have a moment of like, all right, Microsoft maybe says to them, what would be the way that we would do this that you would accept? Right? Like, what would that, right. How would we do this? How would you change your rules so a service like ours would work? Because we want to work with you. We don't want to subvert your platform. But how do we do that? And it's like, you're going to need to write some new rules about game streaming. That's sure, what it's going to have to be.
These are not the last people who are going to come along here, right? Google has a cloud gaming platform. Facebook, as we just mentioned, has a gaming thing. Valve, they got their Steam Link approved after a year. Like, and I think it only does streaming. That only even does streaming from like PCs in your house or something. Like, this is a thing happening, whether or not you like it. And to ban all categories of these apps is going to cause you more pain than, you know, benefit down the road. So work it out. Find a way, because once you establish those rules, like, do be aware that other companies are going to say, hey, we've got a gaming service. You know, we follow what Microsoft did. And you don't want to, what you really don't want to do is have that same argument again when it's like, well, but you worked it out with Microsoft. Why aren't you letting Google on the platform? And their answer can't just be like, because we don't like Google. You know, like, they need to, if they want to live by those rules, they got to write some good rules.
Yeah. So get the App Store legislature back in session. Mm-hmm. Pass some new App Store laws, and then you can appeal them to the App Store Supreme Court, which apparently is a thing. Is Phil Schiller still in charge of the App Store Supreme Court? Is he still the Supreme Court Justice?
The Chief Justice
of the App Store Supreme Court?
I mean,
emeritus.
He's just an ordinary fellow.
Just a regular old fellow. That happened during Upgrade this week. That was pretty hilarious. We're like, whoa, now. Oh, wait for it. We'll do that after the ad break.
That happened right before the rebound. So we didn't know about it going in. But I was reading that story and realizing, like, oh, is Jason going to write? Oh, no, Jason's on a podcast.
I am on a podcast. Yes. Thank you for doing that, because I was on a podcast.
Yeah. Good for Phil.
All right. Good. Yeah. Good for Phil, and good for Jaws. I've been talking to Jaws for a very long time, so good for him. He was like the original PowerBook product manager. That's how far Jaws goes back. He's been an Apple lifer.
I literally cannot remember. I mean, ever since I've been professionally covering it, not that Phil wasn't also around, but, you know, Jaws has always kind of been there.
Yeah.
In the back. I mean, I remember from he's in the poker game, right?
And
Phil are both in the poker game.
Yes.
Back from the original. That was on the iPod.
iPod.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Texas Hold'em on the iPod. Remember the iPod did games? No, that's a story for another time. Anyway, thank you to everybody for supporting Six Colors and listening to this podcast. Dan, you're not around next Friday, are you?
Wait, I got to think about math. No, I am around next Friday. I'm not around the Friday after that. I leave next Saturday.
Calendar
must be appeased.
Okay, for one more week. So we'll be back next week.
One more week.
Then is what that means. But until then, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.